here at Oxford Valley Chapel, we will once again be having our Giving of Thanks service here on the 25th. It's Wednesday. It's a time you won't want to miss. All the other services are canceled, not so that they get a day off, but that all the other ministries are canceled so that they can come in here and collectively spend 1 hour of just giving thanks to God. We need to do it because, again, to me, when I think of my relationship with God, I am fickle with God. It's very easy for me to thank God for warm autumn days. In a few months, I'll have more difficulty thanking God for cold, dreary winter days. I find it easy for me to thank God for my health. I find it difficult, though, to thank God for the struggles, health-wise, or even for the struggles that accompany life. I find it very easy to thank God for my job. I sometimes don't find it so easy to thank God for the problems that come with my job. I thank God for my many relationships, but sometimes I don't thank God for all the difficulties that come with relationships. I'm thankful to God for my Christian maturity, but I'm always not so grateful for what I had to go through to get to where I am today. So how about you? Are you grateful for sunshine? Yep, preacher, I'm there. Count me in. Are you also grateful for the rain? We're grateful for our relationships, but are we thankful for the struggles that accompany our relationships? Are you grateful for the good days and the bad? Now, are we like the Apostle Paul, and we're pretty constant, where Paul says, you know, I know how to hunger and thirst. I know to have much. I know how to have little. And in all of this, I'm content. Are we grateful in those kind of situations? So then, you know, as I'm just reading through here and going through Thessalonians, I'm thinking, is it humanly possible to be thankful in everything? Because that's what verse 18 says. In everything, give thanks. I'm all for the plus days. I'm all for the good days. I'm all for the happy days. The sad days. So is it humanly possible to do that? Is it humanly possible to be grateful in every situation? Like for my wife, as she is convalescing with her knee surgery. Or even more on the scale would be somebody like Jackie, with her husband still up there in intensive care. Is it something that she could be thankful for? The giving of thanks every day in every situation. This is, as Paul was writing this to the Thessalonians, they knew a little bit of what suffering was all about. If you go to chapter 2 in Thessalonians, and let's look at just a couple of verses, you're going to hear that even in life in Thessalonica in the first century wasn't just peaches and cream. They had a little bit of difficulty going on there. And in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 14, Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians 2:14, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us." And again, the middle of verse 14, "For you also are suffering these same things, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men." So, if you want a fuller account of that, go to Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, where you will hear that basically the Apostle Paul got ran out of town. And the authorities came and they stormed Jason's house, trying to capture Paul. Paul was gone already. So they took Jason and they brought him into the authorities, and basically the only way they would release him was if he guaranteed that the city would no longer be disturbed by this religious sect. Well, Paul, he was already gone. He was out of town. But the Christians who remain in Thessalonica continue to feel the heat of the Jewish persecution. But it wasn't just from the Jews, though. It was also from the Gentiles that were very much against this new sect, this new, I guess a word we would say today is a cult, this new religion that Jesus Christ is trying to populate this world with. So now when we flip the page and go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, when Paul writes, in everything you are to give thanks, they knew full well what everything meant. You know, but it's difficult for us today, and I'm sure it's difficult for them to wrap their minds around it. Let me give you just a couple other examples of how this is supposed to play out. I don't think there is a perfect home situation since the Garden of Eden. But even though our home situation is not perfect, we are to be grateful. In everything, we are to give thanks. While our relationships are not without problems, we are to be giving thanks. While our bodies are getting older, weaker, and sicker, we need to be grateful. In everything, give thanks. While the culture, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, is collapsing in front of our eyes, we still need to be giving thanks. We need to be grateful. In everything, give thanks. Whether it's our homes, whether it's relationships, whether it's our bodies, whether it's our cultures, whether it's, well, what happens if my dad doesn't love me or didn't love me? In everything, give thanks. Yeah, but you don't understand my situation. I don't. But God does. And God knew the situations that was going on in Thessalonica, and he knew that there weren't perfect homes there, and he still said, in everything, give thanks. So we've got quite a challenge here before us today. And what I want to do is I just want to take this verse apart word by word to see how we can be more pleasing to God. Because when it's all said and done, that's all that matters. You know, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may give a reckoning, an accounting of the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5. The first word I want to look at there, number one, is give. Give. In everything, give thanks. Give. That's just one of those Greek imperatives, although that probably means nothing. It's just a simple, straightforward command. As we worked through the book of Ephesians last year, we were well familiar with these simple, straightforward commands. Children, obey. Husbands, love. Just simple, straightforward commands throughout Scripture. And again, parents, we are very, with young children especially, and we do have some young children in our church, you are very well familiar with what this sounds like. When you tell, let's just say a two-year-old, no, don't touch that, there's not dialogue, there's not discussion, there's not mediation. You don't touch it. Just a simple, straightforward command. Needs no explanation. It's just no. Dog owners, those of you who have dogs, again, you're very well familiar with this. You tell the dog to come, heel, sit, stay. There's no debate, discussion. The dog does it. They just come, they sit, they heel, they stay right on your foot as you walk. It's just things that we do. Okay, giving. Number two, thanks. Thanks. It's just an acknowledgement. It's an appreciation. It's a gratitude. Thanksgiving is just a genuine, heartfelt response for a kindness received. Some kindness that we have received, there is just a heartfelt response. We are to be thankful for people in 1 Thessalonians 1. We're to be thankful for our food. And of course, I didn't write all of them down, but sometimes people say, why do you guys pray like before your meals? Well, Paul wrote about that in Corinthians and Romans, why we should pray before our meals. We are to give thanks for our food. And then also, we need to be grateful for God. God, who he is. Again, just as we're seeing now again, the Middle East ramp up a little bit with the United States sending troops over to Syria, and who knows where this is going to go? Who knows where this is going to go? Well, who does know where this is going to go? God knows. God knows. So I'm glad that even sometimes, when I never took political science, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but even with all this stuff ramping up and things going on, God knows, and it's not outside of his control, direction, influence, because we know from our Bibles how it's all going to end. So there's so many things that I can be thankful for, just who God is, holy, just, pure, loving, immutable. I like the fact that God is immutable. God never changes. You know, and there's so many different ways like this. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And just on and on it goes. But then we also need to be thankful for what God does. What God does. And as we come into this idea of an imperfect home life, imperfect relationships, an imperfect job, imperfect bodies, and on it goes, how can we give thanks? Well, the attributes of God are now going to have to be your bedrock. They're going to come into play here. And if they're not a part of your very DNA structure, you are not going to be able to give thanks for everything. You will be fickle like me, and you don't want to be like me. You want to be like Paul. You don't want to thank God for warm days and then grumble with the bad days. You want to be like Paul that says, in whatsoever state I am, I'm content. I'm okay with it. Think about it this way. What's the alternative if one isn't grateful? And we're going to develop this thought a little bit in our growth groups. And you and I have kind of met those individuals. Honestly, there are some, and sometimes as they get a little older, they get this way, which is kind of sad because they don't have that many years left, but they're always complaining about something. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. It's too little. It's too much. They're too busy. They're too bored. And it's like, oh my goodness, you don't have that many years. Start enjoying them. But there are too many people who are just honestly unhappy people. And you and I, we can't be that way. We must in everything be giving thanks. In all circumstances, in everything, we are to give thanks in everything. Now, in order to do this, this is where, again, your definition of God. And we understand there's a biblical definition, but I also understand that each one of you also have your own definition of God. And depending upon who your God is going to determine if we can give thanks in everything. We must believe that there is a God who is working, as Ephesians 1:18, who is working all things according to the counsel of his own will. It's kind of interesting and again, just for lack of time, in everything, chase that through the scriptures, those couple words. And where it's very frequently used is in the creation account, where God created everything. So again, what did God not create? Nothing. God created everything. Well, in everything, we are then to give thanks. So what are we allowed not to give thanks to? Nothing. And see, this is where, you know, as you and I go home and ponder this, this is not one of these feel-good sermons where we're going to walk out of here going, wow, that was good. Charged up, man. I'm glad I came. This is going to be, wow, I got a little bit of work to do in my life. I got to get to the point where I'm able to give thanks for everything. As God created everything, we are to be thankful for everything. For everything. So we got to tie the sovereignty of God into it. Let me just give you two verses here pretty quick, and you can see them there under capital B, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, they work together. Individually, are they good? No. Collectively, they are good. And I love Genesis 50:20 because just Genesis 50:20, Joseph, after really, all he did was start out obeying his dad. Dad said, go check on your brothers. And he obediently went and checked on his brothers, and the bottom of his life fell out for years. But after he becomes promoted to just under Pharaoh, when his brothers come into him, after dad is dead, he looks at his brothers and he says, you meant it for evil, and I love that word there. He wasn't pulling any punches. You were wicked, depraved, scumbags, blah, 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 whatever you want to put in there. You were lousy wretches, but God was able to take the universal evil, even Potiphar's wife, and use it for good. So we've got to have as a foundation who God is and what is God doing. It's kind of funny. It reminds me of another hunting story. Tom and Bill are discussing their latest turkey hunting trip. And Tom says emphatically, "I'm never taking my wife hunting again." And unfortunately, that's true with me once. One time in Minnesota, when it was like 30 below, Robin went deer hunting with me and sat up in the tree. Once. Once. Well, in this particular case, Tom's very upset that he took his wife because she said she did nothing right. She talked too much, constantly was pushing the bushes, making all kinds of noise, put the wrong shot shells in the gun, used the wrong turkey calls. She did everything wrong, and she ended up shooting more turkeys than me. In everything, we need to give thanks. Capital or Roman numeral 4, number 4 here. For this is the will of God. Let's back up a chapter, and I want you to see something here in chapter 4, verse 3. Go to chapter 4, verse 3. So just look across the page, turn the page. Chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." And then he develops it through. Abstaining from sexual immorality, is that optional? We must do it. Why? Because it is the will of God. Okay, that same construction there is used in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You must give thanks in everything. Why? It's the will of God. I told you to do it. I want you to do it. Now, do it. Give thanks for everything. Is it humanly possible? Can a human being do this? I don't know. I don't think so. Look at point number 5. There's this prepositional clause there that we kind of read and skip over. For this is the will of God. Then we got this prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus. What significance or bearing does that have in Christ Jesus? And why would he put it there? You would think it would just say, for this is the will of God for you. I want you to do it. Now do it. So why did he put this prepositional phrase in there? And we can further develop that in the next hour. But basically what this is Philippians 2:13 says, "For God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure." John 14, with the vine and the gardener, the father prunes the fruitful vines that you can have more stuff. The bad vines he throws out. And then he goes on to say, "Without me you can do nothing." Later on in Philippians 4, he says, "But God will supply your needs, the needs in order to communicate your gratitude, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Ephesians 3:20, "Who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ever ask or think according to the power that works in you." We have the indwelling Godhead within us. One of the attributes or some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit living in us is the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness. But it's not just so much here's the ability to do it. In Christ, though, you have the responsibility to do it as well. You are in Christ. So it's not just the ability. It's also the responsibility, because you are now a child of God. As we read some of chapter 5, you are not children of darkness. You are children of light. So you need to act like children of light. And in this particular verse, as we see it in 5:18, you are to give thanks for everything. So you have a requirement or a duty, because you put your faith in Christ. He will give you the ability, but then there's also that responsibility. And then lastly, it's the will of God for you. And again, I would love to just think, this is the will of God for Robin. You know, I'm going to throw that bell away. You know, honey,
"Honey, I need more ice. Honey, would you give me another pill? Honey, would you give me a glass of water?" "By the way, guess who made breakfast today?" "Of course you did. Come on. You don't think she's going to get a day off. Woman, give me my breakfast." And those of you who have been around, you know that that's not true. I mean, she did make breakfast, but I wasn't doing this. So I'm thinking, you know, Robin, she needs to be more thankful and more appreciative even for her imperfect husband. And sometimes when we read the scriptures, we do that too. This is something that Bob needs to do. This is something that Bill needs to do. This is something that Joseph needs to do. Me? Nah, I got it covered. Well, he didn't do that. He made it specifically for you. For you. So my brothers and sisters, I would really encourage you to think through, are we fickle? Good days, grateful. Bad days, grateful. Great home situations, grateful. Not so good home situations, grateful. Culture, back in the good old days. Oh man, I remember back in the good old days, which by the way, they didn't know nothing. These, in some ways, are the good old days. But in any event, back in the good old days, we're grateful. Today, grateful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Think it through, my brothers and sisters. We want to be more pleasing to God. And again, I didn't hit the two previous commands, but we are very much, we love them. Pray without ceasing. Gotta pray, gotta pray, gotta pray. And we're all praying, and we should be. But with that same intensity, are we being thankful for everything? And everything give thanks.